Welcome to All Well Stands radio show. This is the Back to the Basics program. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. So for this show and the next show, I want to go ahead and I want to just go over some basics, a lot of scripture reading from the book of Genesis of Abram, who became Abraham, as it's to me, it's incredibly important portion of the Word of God is Abraham. It is the source of Israel. It's a source of where Jesus, his God's chosen people, and it's where Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. It is salvation came from Israel. And it starts with Abram. Abram, in Genesis 12:1, the Bible says, "Now Jehovah said to Abram, depart from your land, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who despises you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." Okay, so that's through verse 3. So right there, all families of the earth shall be blessed. It didn't just go to Israel. It is spread throughout. The light of the gospel has spread throughout the entire world. In fact, because of how God did it, using Abraham, as Abram's name was changed to Abraham by God later on, here I am, one of those families, and I'm doing the work of the Lord because of Abraham as a large portion of it. Now, so let's go ahead and learn a little bit about Abraham. It is one of the basic things that we should understand, and it's something where, as I'm preaching this in Africa, as this is going to be airing over the waves in Africa, the thing about it is there is, the Muslims have a different take on it. They believe in Abraham, just as the Gentiles do. However, their take on it is, when it comes to Isaac, they do a switch of Ishmael. So you have God's word, the Torah, and in there, the book of Genesis, you have Isaac. And if you were to grab a Quran, you would find that it has been switched to Ishmael. And we're going to learn about Ishmael as well. So let me go ahead and just get started. So beginning with Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. "So Abram departed as Jehovah had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." That's quite old. 75 years old to be called by God. And Lot was his brother. Verse 5. "And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had collected, and the souls that they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go into the land of Canaan. So they came into the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shushim, to the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. And Jehovah appeared to Abram and said, 'To your seed I will give this land.' And there he built an altar unto Jehovah, who appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel towards the sea, in Ai on the east. There he built an altar unto Jehovah, and called upon the name of Jehovah. And Abram journeyed, proceeding to journey towards the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt, sojourned there, for the famine was heavy in the land." So, I'm going to stop there. Recently I actually read something on that. And about just this great lack of faith of Abram. And there was a famine. He went down to Egypt. You definitely, you know, it's funny. I've read that many times, and I just felt that the offer's hand was quite heavy against Abraham in this regard. It's just this notorious thing. And I thought to myself, as if any of us can't, you know, have managed to walk with the Lord and never have a moment like this that we can't understand. Well, yeah, I mean, so the question is, if God tells you to go to, you know, sends you somewhere and says, this is your land, and then there's a famine, and you pick up and go down to Egypt, you know, you could say, is that a great faithlessness? Sure, there's some disbelief there. You're in the land. I mean, can you stay there? You know, I'm not going to dig into it that deep. I've never considered that to be, yes, I agree that, you know, could have, should have just stayed there, but to make it out to be such a huge thing, I'm not sure. But starting with verse 11, and we'll see where he runs into trouble in this. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, behold, I know that you are a beautiful woman to look at. And it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and my soul shall live because of you. So this is where I've always thought, wow, you know, here's Abraham lying. And in order to, you know, save his life, but yet there, I have always considered it to be a bigger lack of faith than going to Egypt. Perhaps I'm wrong, but verse 14. And it came to pass when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And a woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He dealt well with Abram because of her, and he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. And Jehovah struck Pharaoh and his household great plagues because of the matter of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh summoned Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, and I took her to be my wife? Now therefore, here is your wife, take her and depart. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning her, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So he's essentially out of Egypt, he goes in and he goes out. Pharaoh is not happy, and because God would not allow Pharaoh to touch Sarai, who will later become Sarah. So if you hear me saying Sarah, that would be why. So let's just continue right on. Trying to cover a lot here. Genesis chapter 13 now. And Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called upon the name of Jehovah. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. And Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we men are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you will take to the left, then I will go to the right, or if you to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the area around Jordan, that it was well watered before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the area around Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated each from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt around the cities and pitch his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly evil and sinful before Jehovah. And after Lot had separated from him, Jehovah said to Abram, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all land which you see, I give to you and your seed in perpetuity. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could count the dust of the earth, then your seed shall also be numbered." Okay, I'm going to stop and interject right here for a moment. This still stands. God has spoken it. It stands. So that land was given to Abraham and his seed. It still is. It became the land of Israel. Israel, for 2,000 years, did not exist. And then suddenly, once again, it became a country. In 1948, it was recognized. And here we are in 2024. And there's a battle going on there. But nonetheless, God will prevail. No matter how many enemies come up against Israel, that land is God's land. And he has leased it forever to the seed of Abraham, which is the Jewish people who reside there now. It belongs to them. Now, obviously, it's a melting pot. I myself, my family comes from Germany. If I were to go back far enough, I could track them to Germany. And on the other side of my family, they come from Poland. So, two regions that are right next to each other. But if I were to sit there and I were to track and go back far enough, I would find that I have Jewish heritage, very, very strong Jewish heritage, and it's not that far back. For my dad was a lot older than my mom, and so if I were to just go back to my great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, I would find his name was Enoch. So, I mean, it's not that far back. And all the names would be Jewish. At some point, after the family moved from Germany, from the portion where a lot of Jewish people lived, and they came to America, they started Americanizing names. But prior to that, they were names taken from the Old Testament. Quite interesting. And on the other side, I can also find that the last name of my grandmother, if I were to track that back, or I'm sorry, my grandfather, if I were to track that back, it turns into also a Jewish surname. So, we're going to continue on. We're just covering the basics. Finishing up chapter 13. "Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the plain of Merim in Hebron and built an altar there unto Jehovah. So we'll start off with verse 14. "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arachah, king of Elasar, Shadarar, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shember, king of Zibeon, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar." So please excuse some of my pronunciation on these names and places as we're going through the Old Testament. "All these joined together in the valley of Shittim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Shadrammar, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Shadamar and the kings that were with him came and struck the giants of Ashtaroth, Carnaim, the Zizim, and Ham, the Emmon, and Shavah, Kephraphim, and the Horatites in the mountains of Seir, as far as Al-Paran, which is by the wilderness." So that's quite interesting. See, the giants were still around. Now, they had died during the flood. Obviously, there was only 8 souls that survived, as I think 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 tells us. But afterwards, there's giants again. And I would like to speak about one particular giant in the future, do a special radio show on that one as part of the Back to Basics. But for now, interesting that there were still giants. And when Israel came into their nation of Israel, came into there many years later, there were also still giants around. So I will just say a story here. So one time, my family and I are at this little diner. It's quite a few years ago. Just with my son. And he's, boy, at the time he's probably two. So it's probably about 10 years ago. There's a little diner in Iowa. I forget the town we were in. We stayed. We were traveling. Ended up in this really small town in Iowa. And went to get something to eat. Staying there tonight. And there was this diner. And there was this gentleman who was sitting down. And you could tell he was big. And when he stood up, he came over to the table, because our son was looking at him, and he was way over 7 feet tall. I mean, the guy was huge. And he said, "You ever seen a giant before?" And he's like, "I grew up on a farm, and I drink 1 gallon of milk every day when he was growing up." And when he went to go out the door, he had to duck down to get out the door to the diner. I mean, the guy was tallest guy I've ever seen in person. He was just massive. So, yes, I've seen a giant, you could say. You know, we could argue how big they were. I've often heard the giants were 9 feet tall. I've heard up to 12. Perhaps somewhere between 9 and 12 feet tall. This guy wasn't 9 feet tall, but he was probably pretty close to 8. Definitely 7-something. He was huge. So, continuing on with verse, chapter 14, verse 8. And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar, went out and set in battle array in the valley of Siddim against Shadamar, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, Alphamal, king of Shinar, and Erech, king of Elsar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was pitted with asphalt pits, and the 3 kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. And they took the property of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their food, and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who dwelt in Sodom, and his possessions, and departed. And one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Anar, and they were allies with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he led out his train 318 who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And they split up by night, he and his servants, and struck them and pursued them as far as Hoba, which is north of Damascus. And he brought back all the property, and also brought back his brother Lot and his possessions, as well as the women and the people. So, that right there is faith. Abram just went in, pursued, brought back Lot, ended whatever gains there were, and won the battle. Continuing on, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shavah, which is a king's valley, after his return from smiting Shadamar and the kings who were with him. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. So, I'm going to stop right here. If you ever have time, and you do a word study on Melchizedek, found here in Genesis chapter 14, 18, you will see that there's some mention of Melchizedek in the New Testament, particularly Hebrews. Melchizedek is a very, very interesting character and priest of the Most High God, king of Salem. Anyway, the thing about it is, without, you know, there's not a lot that can be said about Salem about the Melchizedek, king of Salem. But he is a very interesting character. I could do a whole thing on it. This is the Back to the Basics, and we're just covering the basics here. But anyway, something that if you want to dig into, And I wouldn't recommend using the internet. I would just recommend using the Bible. You use the internet, you're probably going to go in 100 different directions, and it's probably going to be wrong. You know, what the Bible doesn't say, we can't add. Continuing, verse 19. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed is Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed is the Most High God who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the souls and take the property for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to Jehovah the Most High God, possessor of the heavens and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, that you may say I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and a portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Esco, and Mamre, let them take their portion." So even there, Abram would take nothing from the king of Sodom. So, you know, I think about that in more of a modern day thing, you know, how God helps his people. And the way some people think nowadays compared to what the Bible actually teaches. Old Will Stan doesn't ask people for money. Yet God uses sometimes someone to send money to help out the ministry, etc. However, I will say that if there were someone, I've never had it happen, who offered any amount of money, we'll say even a sandal strap, so even a small amount of money, towards the work of God, or even as a ministry gift, even if it wasn't for the work of God, but just to help pay the bills around here. Now, you see, right there, I will follow Abraham's example and not even take a sandal strap. For if God's going to provide, he will provide in his means. I do not need those who are clearly not his, and the king of Sodom would have been one of those. Lest it have a bad reputation afterwards, even a sandal strap. Okay, so now we're going to get into God's covenant with Abram. Genesis chapter 15. So I'm just going to go ahead and go through it. And as I go through it, please understand that when God speaks and says something, it will come to pass. Absolutely, it will come to pass. What God sets, if God makes a covenant, unless he himself would tell you it's broken or any word, sometimes it can be contingent on us. For instance, we could get into a more in-depth thing where Israel was in the land. Obviously, they were gone for a couple thousand years. They could have always been there. But there was some contingencies there about serving God versus serving the pagan idols, the pagan gods. So there's things like that. But when God speaks, it will come to pass. And this is how we know. And I used to do a lot of radio shows on the book of Revelation. And we know that all those things are going to come to pass. We might not know exactly how they're going to come to pass. We obviously don't. But we know they're going to come to pass. Just as everything that the Bible spoke about in the Old Testament came to pass with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So let me go ahead and get through chapter 15 here. And we'll wrap up this portion of it and continue on talking about Abraham, because Abraham is very important. I think it's a basic thing that every person who wants to understand the Bible needs to understand. So, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of Jehovah came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And Abram said, "Lord Jehovah, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the son of the inheritance of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no seed, and lo, a son of my house inherits from me." And behold, the word of Jehovah came unto him, saying, "This one shall not inherit from you, but one who shall come forth from your own body shall inherit from you." And he brought him outside and said, "Look now towards the heavens, and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in Jehovah, and he accounted it unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am Jehovah who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord Jehovah, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take for me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took all these for him, and cut them in two, down the middle, and put each piece against each other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, consider it now that your seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And I will also judge the nation whom they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass, when the sun had gone down, as it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On that day Jehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your seed I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Giants, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So, that is what we're dealing with. The Bible speaks about Jerusalem. It speaks about Israel specifically. Let me go ahead and get you that verse. Zechariah 12:2 says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the peoples all around, and it shall be against Judah in the siege against Jerusalem. Well, right now we have Jerusalem is a cup of trembling to all the peoples all around. And it has been for a long time. And Jerusalem has been, you know, in 70 AD it was taken out. And for 2,000 years, that land was empty. But this same land, this is why Abraham is so important. Because by believing God and believing his word, Israel is in its rightful place. Israel is where it should be. Israel is not a nation to be wiped off the face of the earth, as Iran and its enemies say. No, Israel is God's people, and during the time of Jacob's trouble, as people have called the tribulation, as the name of it, during that time, which I briefly mentioned, and you can go and get the book, The End, for free off of All Will Stand's website, which is allwillstand.org, and you can go ahead and learn about that. Anyway, Israel will be restored at that point, completely. So right now, Israel, the people there, they're not serving the Messiah, their Messiah, our Messiah. They're not serving Jesus. They don't believe that's a Messiah. Their hearts are not right before God. But God is going to set things in order in his way, in his time. And by the end of that time period, they will be ready to receive the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So, until then, things are going to get quite crazy. But, to this day, Jerusalem is a cup of trembling. It's an international city, according to the UN. It's not. It is not. It belongs to God. It belongs to Israel. No. And so there's been disputes over this land and everything. And I always wish that, you know, they would just take back that land that's yours. Of course, it's not popular to speak to people who follow the Islamic faith. But this is what the Word of God says. And this is what is going to happen eventually here. It will be restored to them. Anyway, if you have questions about salvation, please visit the website at allwillstand.org. You can click on the salvation link. There's plenty of information there. We are going to continue going over Abraham at least one more week. Until then, have a great week.